August 26, 2022, it's the Watch for Pedro show.
No. I, as I told the young man,
yes,
I was a student. I told him that, and I couldn't answer this. Yeah, I don't talk much, you know. But you got me talking, man. For hours I've been talking, and I'm not a talker. But I thought about this question after I'd answered it the best I could, and I felt that I didn't tell him. Well, I didn't tell him was what I really wanted to. But he felt that I was Christian,
right,
and. I am by as far as birth, or my mother was, or my father was, and so forth. And my early teachings were the Christian faith. And as upon now, as I look out upon the world, and it's always been a thing with me, to feel that all men know the truth. See?
I see.
And so therefore I've always felt that even though a man was not a Christian, he still had to know the truth some way. Or if he was a Christian, he could know the truth. Or he could not. It's according to whether he knew the truth. And the truth itself doesn't have any name on it to me. See? And each man has to find this for himself, I think.
You always knew it was coming to this. Your country is run by a fucking fascist. You see something? It's unjust. You see something? It's not right. You gotta do something. You gotta join the fight.
We need you
to smash the fascist.
We need you
to smash the fascist. What a field day for the fucking peace. They're snatching people off the fucking streets. You see something? It's unjust. You see something? It's not right. You gotta do something. You gotta join the fight.
We need you
to smash the fascists.
We need you
to smash the fascists.
We need you
to smash the fascists.
We need you
to smash the fascists. You should be afraid. You should get your ass down to the barricade. It's time to go to work. It's time to organize. Because the fascists are here right in front of our eyes. You see something? It's unjust. You see something? It's not right. You gotta do something. You gotta join the fight.
We need you
to smash the fascists.
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 Watch for Pedro show started off with John Coltrane in Tokyo 1966 talking about finding the truth. And then we had Pocket Fisherman with Smash the Fascist. And speaking of which, on the other side of the line, thanks to those Estonian software people, their Skype invention, Brother Brent. And who's the connect? It's Thor, right?
It's Thor. It's Brother Thor.
Beautiful Brother Thor. And he was, I guess, the drummer man in Pocket Fisherman?
No, I've never had the pleasure of playing with him.
Okay.
I think, though, I might get to start playing bass for Thor and Friends. It's a possibility. But Thor and me are just, I'm just one of the friends.
That's okay.
So, yeah.
You know, music, I remember Reverend Pettibone once telling me, you know, people in bands should be friends.
That's so true, and that's one of the things that you really believe around here. You know, that's one of the things you learn early, actually.
Where are you talking to me from?
I'm talking to you from Austin, Texas.
Okay, music town. Been a little bit sweaty, I bet.
Yeah, it's horrible.
No, it's all right. I was there in March, I think.
And I saw you.
With Mike Baghetta and Stephen Hodges. Yeah,
MSSV. It was the coolest thing.
Outside,
yeah.
Like, what was it? It was some kind of a benefit or festival or something.
Yeah, they call it the Chili Dog Fest, and I'm not 100% sure why, but there are chili dogs there. But it's just like a, you know, massive three stages and people coming and going and the usual.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get into your journey dealing with music. Please bring the earliest memory you got music-wise. Remember, yeah, it's the Watt for Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
Thank God. Yeah, yeah. I did, since I was listening to some of your communiques, I noticed that you answered, that you asked this question, so I had to try to remember something because I don't have a great memory. But I do remember when I was like 4 or 5 years old, this would have been 1968, being in the kitchen of this tiny little house that we lived in this tiny little town in Oklahoma and hearing what, you know, this song that they played all the time on the radio at the time, which now I know it's called Classical Gas, but, you know, back then I didn't really know song names and so on. But I looked it up because I was trying to figure out the name. I never did remember the name.
Instrumental.
Yeah, it's an instrumental with, like, classical guitar and
da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, it's like a featured Spanish nylon string guitar, but with a symphony with it.
Totally. Real pretty song.
Catchy melody.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good memory. That's a good
pretty memory. To me.
For a 4 or 5 year old, that's a pretty sophisticated piece of music.
Well, it's about the melody, you know, for me. And so there's a huge, awesome, glorious melody there.
Yeah, now in that little, the pad you grew up in that town, was there musical instruments?
Shit, no. There wasn't nothing. I mean,
well, you played the radio.
There was a radio. Yeah. There were no instruments in my home. There was probably pianos all around town, but of course there was only like 2,000 people in this town. The piano was pretty much the only instrument you would find in southern Oklahoma, and there were certain people who would be like carved out from whatever family who they would play the piano. That would be them. And no one else would really do anything.
Well, there's some famous guys from Oklahoma on guitar.
Yes.
One of them, you know, Woody Guthrie, but also the singing cowboy, Gene Autry, who opened up Museum here by the observatory, you know, where that knife fight is in Rebel Without a Cause.
Oh, yeah.
Dennis Hopper with blonde hair, yeah. Black cowboy section, you know, a lot of stuff. Not just, you know, so many people get trained by the movies and stuff. Actually wanted people to get the real story. That was hard work, the vaqueros and stuff. But the guitar a little more portable than a piano, especially if you aren't a horse.
Yeah, it's preferable in many ways.
Let me ask you this. What about school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
No, nothing. I was the most unmusical person around, and my mom had like zero affinity for music. And so like but the thing is, if I'd have thought about it for 2 seconds, I would have realized that I could maybe have done it, or it didn't even occur to me to do it, you know. But like, I remember hearing the Beatles when I was 8 years old, actually before then. And I knew I loved the Beatles, you know, so like I didn't actually know I loved music. I just did without knowing it. Kind of weird.
Words probably come after anyway, feelings first. What was the first record you bought with your own money?
I think it would have been a 45 of Communication Breakdown by Led Zeppelin.
Okay. And what was the first gig you saw?
It would have been Kansas and Cheap Trick at the San Antonio Convention Center when I was 14.
Okay. Arena Rock.
Arena Rock. That's what they have in San Antonio.
Well, yeah, Army Town, right?
Yeah.
Actually, there was a pad there I used to play, and the guy got shot to death. No. You know who lit?
I laugh.
What's his name? Chris Smith? Gay Sports Kid. He's got a bunch of bands. Hickoids goes back, and he lives in that town. It's only 70, 80 miles from Austin, right?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
So, now you say you felt you liked music without admitting it with language. How did you get going? Did you meet anybody that put a sea change in your life?
Well, like to get into start performing music, you know, I moved up here. You know, once you're in middle school and high school, you kind of have to make terms with music, you know, because everybody's pushing it on you and it's just all around you, at least in my youth. But then when I moved up to Austin, it was a whole different level. It was a whole another thing up here. And this was in 1981. So the punk scene was happening in Austin that early. And that's all anyone talked about, you know. And so I came up here. I wanted to be in film or maybe do writing, but everyone was talking about music. So I was like, well, shit, that's the game. So then I, you know, you want to do what everybody else is like paying attention to. So there's that. What about you? You had it. I want to hear about you. You know, I mean, I know a little bit about you from reading about you, but did you have a guitar in your childhood?
No, I got into music to be with D. Boone, but you know, I only got so much time with you. So people hear me fucking every day, every show. Okay. Because we could talk offline or something, but for the show, let's like educate the listener and get the same old fucking reruns from Watt. I got into music to be with D. Boone. Okay, his mom put me on bass. That not even my decision. I just wanted to be with the man. Right. Everybody's got different reasons why they got into. For example, what was the first instrument
that I played?
Yeah,
guitar.
Yeah. Why did you pick that?
You know, it's just the one. That's just what you do. You just get a guitar. And I taught myself how to play it, and I never took any lessons. And, you know, I became a shitty guitar player, and I remain a shitty guitar player.
What was your first guitar? Was it acoustic?
It was acoustic. A girlfriend got me a guitar when I was 19, and I still have that guitar. Pretty crappy guitar. But, you know, like, I fetishize guitars. Anybody who's been around them fetishizes them. And then, like, 2 or 3 years later, I got an electric guitar. And a year or so after that, I finally got in the band. It took me a long time. And
self-taught, you know, right? No lessons?
Self-taught.
Yeah,
no lessons. I should have taken lessons. I mean, like I say, I didn't have any music theory knowledge, nothing. I didn't know what a harmony was as opposed to a melody. You know, I didn't know the difference between a melody and a harmony when I started playing.
I bet you
playing.
Most people don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, you get into it. And then, you know, music is such a part of people's lives, I think you don't have to have, like you were saying earlier, words for it.
Yeah, it's true. That's a beautiful thing about it.
Yeah. It's an interesting way for humans to connect. It doesn't have to have so much hierarchy, but sometimes it does, and it's a lot of drama, and it's horrible. I love what Raymond said, friends should be in bands. I want to play this tune you sent me, colonoscopy?
Colonoscopy, 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 colonoscopy. Giving up a dog's name, yeah.
Yeah. to steer them right. From foolishness, never leave their side. Day by day, night by night, hear them clear, Jah Jah be their guide. Oh, oh, oh. And the sense not to fuss nor fight, when to walk, when to run, or when to hide. Away from the sun, away from the
sleep with ecstasy.
He can sleep.
see you rub up against you. What you do? What would I do?
That's Amy Carter! I was your daughter a million years ago, before the Eskimo, baby. Anatomy and your morality on my TV.
Check it in.
And Amy Carter, I was your humble daughter a million years ago before the Eskimo. I love you! I'm dumb. Just because I want you to come to my town, Amy Carter, Amy baby. But Amy Carter, it does not matter. It does not matter. I know you're going to be coming to Austin Town, coming to my street, coming to my door, opening my door, look at my room, look at me on the floor. And I know when it's all over, Amy Carter, I'm going to be making you dinner.
Pedro show that Chuck music started off with Pocket Fisherman. And it's spelled that way on purpose, right?
Yeah.
For search engines on the internet. Colonoscopy. Then we had brand new from Sleep Party People. Actually, it might be a reissue, huh? Tide. Well, it's new to me. There was this band up in the city called Black Humor, and they had this one line. The only thing new is you finding out about it. Hippies in black leather jackets. Hippies! Hippies! That's hilarious. This lady's screaming her brains out. Phil Maggie after that with Will the Night Never End? Horace Andy with The Way with the Gun and Knife. King of Fools from Bad Reputation with the Contrabassins. Hudson Valley. Upstate New York. Afternoon Freak, myself with Danny Frankel and Matt Motel, third album, 4x3 minus me. And then finally, Amy Carter by the Pocket Fisherman. Not to be confused with the music proj Amy Carter. We're going to play some next hour. So You get in a band, you don't do the solo guitar thing, singer songwriter, or you immediately get in a band after you got
it. No, you gotta get in a band.
Instrument. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Pettibone. Gotta find your friends.
Yeah. And in fact, I've done music with him in a project called Sock Tight. It's beautiful. He's a great rapper. So, what was his first band you joined?
The first band, it was Pocket Fisherman. And, okay. I put it together, you know, like...
you didn't join a band. You started it. Okay.
I started it, yeah.
Well, that's great.
And I had a roommate named Ron Williams, who I lived with for years. He was on the bass. I met this dude in film school, in communications college, Chris Burns, the guitar player. And I had an old high school friend, Marcus Trejo.
Well, he came. Chris Burns up in Canada. I play his music all the time. Montreal guy. And who was the final guy?
Marcus Trejo.
Marcus Trejo. Okay. And, okay, where, do you remember the Pop Peel, Pocket Fisherman?
Oh, yeah. That was in, you know, currency at the time. That was in, everyone knew what that was.
Like you would just whip this baby out of your pants, right, and start fishing.
The next thing you know, you have a big, like, 5-pound bass on it.
Right. So... Now, you put the band together. Did you have a batch of songs first?
Probably not. I don't believe so, but it didn't take long. We got the people to come over to the apartment, and, you know, Marcus actually, like, played on a trash can the first time we were there. And it was that, like, you know, that level. And then, of course, like, rush out and buy some drums and, like, write a couple of songs, you know. Just, like, making, like, horrible, long-ass jams and shit like that. The usual, I guess, is what you'd say.
How long before you do your first gig?
We did our first gig 6 months later.
Okay, so 6 months of prac. And what was the first gig like?
I think there was, like, about 9 or 10 people there. It was at a building that still exists here in Austin, that was a Vietnamese restaurant in theory, but very few people ever actually got any food from this place. And there was this woman named Fong who ran it, and didn't seem to be too many other people in the place. And like if you ordered a beer, she would go across the street and buy one at a convenience store and bring it back. So
what was the name of this pad?
It was Dong Wong.
Okay.
Dong Wong. So that was a place where a lot of punk bands, you know, there was like several waves of these punk bands here in town, and we were part of the third wave, what you probably call it, I don't know, the third wave, whatever. But a bunch of other bands came up at the same time in 1986, 1987. So they all started playing at this place. Just for like maybe 6 months because it didn't last very long. And
well, back to your gig. How did it go?
I suppose it went well, but you know, I mean, we weren't.
Did they throw shit or?
Pardon me?
They throw shit at you? I mean, you know.
No, no throwing. You know, it was like people weren't dancing so much anymore at that point. So people would stand around, and it would be kind of like heavy and kind of weird. You know. Heavy and weird.
You need like a lot of hands on chins, folded arms.
They don't put them on there. They didn't put the hand on the chin. It's more like slumped shoulders, like leaning forward slightly, getting real drunk. I guess people would move around a little bit. But it was also loud, you know, ear splitting, you know, chaos. There was a lot of chaos and noise in the music at that point because people were, and all these young people were trying to learn how to play and letting it come to them.
The cats in your band.
Yeah, and in the other bands too. There was a couple of bands that were like kind of had their shit together and knew how to play their songs and they would be better arranged, and then there was everybody else.
Interesting. But that, you know, that's a scene, right?
Yeah, it's a scene.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. It helps. Like you say, they come in waves.
Yeah.
And God, if you think about it now, it's been, what, 40 years?
Yeah.
50 years of punk? No, I mean, really. Seriously.
Just yeah, really. Totally.
Yeah, it keeps rolling and rolling. And, okay, when the gig was over, did you guys have, like, a debriefing?
Yeah, we would always go back and, like, talk about what happened. And we would drink, like, these Jolt sodas, you know, these, like, caffeinated sodas.
I remember Jolt.
Yeah. And so we would, like, and smoke tons and tons and tons of marijuana, just constant marijuana. And, you know, and then so anticipating your next couple of questions, so we kept playing, and, like, for the next 6 months, the shows got, you know, less and less attended, it to the point where finally we had a show at the same place and no one at all showed up. And so then finally, like, two people showed up, and instead of playing the show, we just went over to their house and jammed. So that was the trajectory.
Well, these songs that you flowed me must have been recorded at some time.
Well, that one Amy Carter one was recorded, like, a year after we got together. So that was our hit or whatever.
And where'd you record it?
We recorded it at this little studio that's no longer there. Just bought the studio time. Chris Burns, the guitar player, had aspirations to be a recording engineer. In fact, that's what he is now. So, like, he wanted to record the records. That's one of the reasons he wanted to be in a band, but so he could, like, get his hands on the machines. And so we went over there, did it ourselves, you know, like, pressed it ourselves, sent the stuff out. Like, I sent the stuff out in, you know, mailers to addresses that I found. I think, I don't know how. There was no internet.
It ended up a 7-inch?
It ended up a 7-inch, yeah. And they played it on WFMU and in some other places. And we went and did a little tour the next year. And, you know, it wasn't too bad. It was fun. But yeah.
How long did the Pocket Fishermen exist?
They still do exist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're still putting out. We don't put out music very often, but we put out a new record, I think, a year ago or a year and a half ago, something like that.
Yeah. So and you say the band started in 86?
Yes.
Wow, that's a pretty long time to have a band.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's like my whole fucking life at this point.
Yeah, but I mean, cool people too, that, you know, not being dickheads.
Yeah.
We were talking about drama and all that shit.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where I learned about that, because, you know, like, we would have, like, I had fights with my best buddy, Chris, you know, and, like, wanted to kick him out of the band, and then, like 3 or 4 years in, and then after that, we were like, what the fuck, you know, what are we doing here? Like, if this isn't fun, why are we doing it, you know? So.
Yeah.
It's been a love fest ever since.
Human beings. Human beings are a very strange species. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, August 26, 2020, second edition Watt from Pedro Show. Special guest, Brant Bingaman?
Bingaman, yes,
yeah,
sir.
Bingaman, yeah. Hold tight for hour two. August 26, 2022, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Takes me. I'm glad there's something wrong with me. I'm glad.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Pocket Fishing doing Big Blue Ball. Then S.R. Woodward, Play This for the Living. Northern Jaw, Coda, A Guide to Getting Low. Coda is usually right music word for end. I think it's Italiano for tail. Stranded at the Airport Lounge from Mama's Prendon. And finally, The Horsies with I'm Glad. You gave me The Horsies. Enlighten us, please.
Yes, thank you. So then, you know, in the rock and roll band and the punk rock band for 5 years, and I was like thinking to myself, I had an epiphany, and I was like, music is supposed to be for dancing. That's what it's supposed to be for. And so then I wanted to have a dance band. And so then I wanted to have something that was completely different from rock and roll. And I like African music and I like Cuban music. So I wanted to have a band that combined those two types of music. So started that band with the person who was my wife at the time, Julia Austin, and brought in, you know, like some super, super, super awesome people. Some beautiful humans. And, you know, what did you think of it? Did you listen to us? Have you listened to these things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, The Horsies. Where did they get the name The Horsies?
Oh, that was Julia Austin. That was her idea.
I'm glad. Yeah. Well, you know, if you float it to me, it's something that I figured that you wanted people to know about. So I wasn't really here to judge you or anything. I want people to learn. You know, the whole idea of this show, in a way, is to make people brave enough to get in bands and to make songs and recordings. Because I think if people hear about it from other people, it won't be so as scary and mysterious.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I hear that.
Right. So I like this idea, like, you felt you had something missing in your life, like not having a dance band, so you went and fucking put one together.
Yeah, that's right. And I brought in Bill Anderson, who's been in, like, two other of these. This dance band idea has also been a very long-lived concept for me, because after the Horsies broke up, I started another one, and then just like 5 or 6 years ago, I started a third one, which has now also run its course. But Bill Anderson, the guitar player, has been in all of them. He's kind of a famous figure here in Austin. And Sherry Lane was in the Horsies, Christy Knight, Rich Malley. I also continue to play with Rich. So it's kind of lucky for me, you know, like I've had these people in my life. I've been able to, you know, just like be close with them and keep doing projects with them. Super cool. It's like the community here rocks.
Yeah, that's why I said at the beginning of the show, Music Town. I know it's a school town and it's a government capital town, too, but lots of different things. The Horsies did gigs or just recordings?
Yeah, they did gigs. They became one of the most successful bands in town for about a year or two. And then my wife at the time got pregnant. She got pregnant with my first kiddo. I have two kids. And that kind of put the kibosh on the band, you know, because that'll just fuck a band over in no time.
Having children?
Yeah, having children. I mean, some people do it, but I don't. I see it. Usually, it ruins the bands.
Okay. Yeah, my pop used to say about the Navy. You know, he was a sailor, and he said, "Yeah, the Navy wanted me to have family; they would have issued me one." Kind of laughed. Look, you gave me this kid here, Cat Sanchez. I want to play right now.
fish. And thanks, I want to thank James for cooking the fish all day long, because he cooked it all day long.
Yes, James Lawrence Thornton, thank you.
Man.
I'd like to dedicate these next two songs to Lawrence Heads.
Yeah,
Lar.
Are you ready, Chris Burns?
Thank you.
Spot for Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with Cat Scientist doing Precipice. Then Nels Klein and Elliot Sharp. There's two guitar players. Let Her In. Ray Shin after that with Anoxic Love. And Amy Carter. Now this is the prog, not the song. Up in the Treehouse. This was a gig, right? Not too long ago, only a couple of years ago.
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
So tell me about both these projects, Cat Scientist and Amy Carter.
So Cat Scientist, like I say, I wanted to have, you know, my Horsey's band died, and then 4 or 5 years later, I was like, I want to do the dance thing again. So I asked Bill. He came in. We got Ray Schickler, Julian Peterson, Cisco Gilland, and we did that for 5 years, you know, and like I was liking drum machines, so I wanted to try to have drum machines in it. That didn't work out, as it turns out, you know, like we're too much from Austin, so we need to have our drums, our real drums. But we did that. And then like 5 or 6 years ago, I got remarried, and my wife is a crazy good singer. She sings choral music, you know, she's like conductor, and she also is like, she's a soprano, so she can like sing like the totally legit.
You know, next hour we're going to play this Fontanelles. Is that her singing in Fontanelles?
Yeah, that's she's one of them.
Yeah, incredible, really good singer.
Yeah.
Much respect. There was a band here in the old days called the Fontanelles. I remember one of the Sacred Trust bass players played him. And it's some it's like the soft part on a baby's head, right?
Yeah, totally.
Kind of and that was, heals up.
Yeah.
Gives your brain room to grow and then heals over. But Cat Scientist, that is such a trippy name for a dance band. Interesting. And that band did gigs too, right? You just don't do playing recording projects. You put this on stages in front of people, right?
Yeah, right. In Austin, it's more about the gig than
of course. A lot of places to play.
Tons of places to play, and it's just that's the way it is, you know? Like, it's just like, I don't know, this is how it is.
No, it's all right, you know?
Yeah,
there's
no
different one, ways, like, for example, do you collaborate over the internet, trading files?
Not yet, but I sure am open to it.
I've been doing it for, I don't know, 10, 15 years. I've made buttloads of albums with people I've never even met.
Whoa.
It's never been on the stage, see, so that's why I asked that. You know,
it's that's so cool. You know, I love the way you play the bass, you know. I love the way that it's...
Well, I'm learning how to play. I kind of wrestle it. still learning. And put flats on one of my bass.
That's what I play with.
With flats? Yeah.
Yeah.
I put on my Thunderbird. You know, we lost Dusty, right? And maybe a year ago. And I took my Thunderbird. I hadn't played it in 18 years or something. And I put a single coil pickup, like because he played them old P basses, right? And then I thought, fuck it. I'll put flats on it, too. And the first ones I got, they're Labellas, but they're like fucking pipes. So I got low-tension ones. They're a little easier to play. But, man, there's something about them. Flats are really interesting.
Don't they feel good? It makes you want to slide.
Yeah. They're really interesting. And then Amy Carter?
Yes?
Well, I can't read minds yet, Brant, so you're going to have to enlighten me with words. I'm working on it, though.
Let's get beyond worked here. Get the brains like completely.
Well, this was a gig, right? And in fact, you dedicate. You say two songs. You only gave me one, but in the little intro of the piece, we want to dedicate this to
James Thornton.
Right. Yeah, but what is it? Just tell me about the unit, Amy Carter.
About the song or about the.
Well, the song is Up in the Treehouse, right?
Yeah. Well, we played two songs on that little thing. That's a live.
Oh, they were two. They were glued together.
They were glued together.
Okay.
In this case.
Yes.
And so, I just wanted to give you that to show you like how we kind of transitioned into more or less a bar band in a way, you know, like it kind of goes along with what we were talking about a second ago. When you're in Austin, you play out so much.
Yeah.
That experience starts to change the way that you write and play.
Sure.
You know, because you're playing to drunk people like at 11
o'clock. Work in the room.
Yeah, you're working the room. So before you know it, without your without wanting it to be that way, you start to play like more melodic shit, more poppy type shit. So less like, you know, like
the early Pocket Fishery with the
yes.
Motown and the Jams.
Yeah, exactly. Less of that kind of thing, because the audiences don't like that so much.
Is Motown legal in Texas now?
Is what? Marijuana?
Yeah.
Yeah, it still is. But they won't really bust you for it in Austin.
Okay. I remember in the old days, Ann Arbor, $5 tickets.
Old days. That's more like it.
Amy Carter, that was Jimmy Carter's daughter, right?
Yeah. And so, you know, here's what it was. Like, I saw this interview with the Butthole Surfers where they were talking about how Gibby went and he, like, rubbed his testicles on the luggage of Amy Carter. And this was, like, in 1988 when we were, like, getting out there and everyone worshipped and to this day continues to worship the Butthole Surfers. And, you know, like...
The first Hollywood gig was with Minutemen and Big Boys.
Oh, no way.
Big Boys. And I was on Melrose up in Hollywood and I remember... At the end of the night, Gibby had this gigantic jug of Vaseline. He says, "We're going to have a party tonight." Well, we're at the end of the second hour, August 26, 2022. They didn't have King or Teresa yet. Some guy named Quinn. Yeah, they call him Quinn the Eskimo. Special guest, Brant Bingaman. Hold tight by our feet. August 26, 2022, it's the third hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
The first to go where the because that's how you do. You could take a joke.
Gross Show. Start off the third hour with the Fontanelles, the Smolder. Then Jucifer. Jella sent me this. Turn. They're back. Man, you ever see this band, Jucifer? I mean, like 50 amps, right? Just set up and tear down. And it's,
I never have seen them, but I've...
The guy and his wife, yeah. Right? Amber and... they're really bitching people, but, man, they have to move a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. Like, they tore in a motorhome, and it's filled with, like, 50 amps.
Oh, my God.
So, Noisuka, after that, with Oceana Blue. Vex Party with Vex Parties. And then Fontanelles again with Pour Out the Box. So, hip us, please.
About the Fontanelles, thank you so
yeah,
much.
Of course.
Yeah, I wanted to have that experience again. I wanted to, you know, be with my friends again. And so I got Bill and I got Rich Malley from the Horsies, and my wife, Adrian Pedrati. And like I said, Adrian can sing real good.
What'd you say, choral?
Yes.
Yeah.
She sings choir music, you know. She's not a believer, but she'll, like, go to churches and sing, like, old Italian songs and every other kind of old church music. And there's a lot of new choir music, too. The Estonians are big choir people. I know this. And then Bill knew Leela Henley and Michelle Cahan, and also excellent musician type people, like real, like full on musicians, like who can read music and all that kind of thing. They could harmonize real well. Great, great players, great singers. And
where was this stuff recorded?
It was recorded by John Henley, Leela's.
Really good job.
Husband. Yeah, he just recorded it in the most kind of weirdest way, you know, kind of like isolating each instrument and playing.
Oh, I've had to do stuff like that where you're not even in the same rooms, right? Just
yeah.
Headphones, yeah.
Totally.
I did this one project. I'll tell you, here's a little something about what you might want to know. I did this thing with Nels Klein and Steve Perkins. It ended up being the first Banyan record. And these guys named Dust Brothers or something up Silver Lake put us in this house. We're each in a different room. They put fucking Igor Stravinsky right a spring over the headphones. And they say, now you guys jam to this record. And then, of course, remove that. At the end of the day, you don't hear any Igor Stravinsky. You just hear these guys trying to, you know, we were trying to play with each other at the same time while jamming to this. I mean, Nels Klein's quite capable. But why not take trips like that? Listening to these recordings you gave me of Fontanelles, I thought they're a really good job.
Well, I think John did a great job, you know. Like, I had my doubts about the process, and I told him straight up, like, I don't think this is the right way to do it. But, man, he fucking did it. It sounds good.
Well, I got to give you credit for letting him have the latitude like that. You didn't let a drama thing happen.
Well, no. I mean, I did pull on a drama thing, which I'm quite capable of doing it. And, you know, I tried to get my way. But the thing is, it's a democracy, and if I don't have the votes, I don't have the votes.
That's good to hear. A lot of people ain't that way. It's like my bait, my bat, my mitts, my ball, right? I'm going home.
Yeah.
So that's pretty. That's a good character trait you got there, right? I want to play some more Fontanelles. You gave me this one, trying, right? That's what you're doing. You're trying.
Thank you. ritual. You seem to be reality.
shaped note, West Grey home, red grey note, sting shaped leaf, leaf shaped note, red grey tree, West Grey home.
Show last music for this edition. Chunk started off Fontanelles doing Trying. Then from Iowa, SLW Bob Buckle Jr. I should have listened. Floating Problems after that, Post Human Water Park. Rapoon with Sataranum. Some Latin there. And then Ken Vandermark's Audio One. C. Maybe that's the songs of the key is C. And finally, the Fontanelles with Home. So, you told me Pocket Fishermen are still going, but do you spend as much time with them as you do with the Fontanelles?
Well, I spent more time with the Fontanelles for the last two or three years, but now the Fontanelles have broken up too, basically.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, they didn't call it quits formally, but Bill Anderson and Rich Malley have both moved to New Mexico now. Like, Bill moved last year, and Rich is pretty much on his way out in the next week or two. So there goes my, you know, my guitar player, my drummer. So,
yeah, and you don't want to replace them, right? If they're not there, then the band's not the band. Start another band, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
I like that. I mean, that's hard for people to do, right? It's kind of brave ass, but I think ethically it's the good thing to do. You're giving support to those cats who had to bail.
Yeah.
But who knows, Brett? This might be a way of you starting to work remotely. Maybe those guys in New Mexico can send files. I mean, now you're an expert on Skype. Well, you know, Pro Tools is the next kingdom to conquer.
Yeah,
or GarageBand, right? It's free on the fucking crap top. So right now, if you wanted to go play a gig, you could just call up your Pocket Fisherman guys, right? Do some tracks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally. We played a week ago.
And where do you like playing now in Austin?
Well, we played at a weird, you know, like the clubs are, they change all the time.
I know it. I know that. Sixth Street, right?
Yeah. And there was a club that, you know, I wasn't too high on it at first, but I really enjoyed it the last few times I've been there, called Kick Butt Coffee. It's a coffee house, but it's kind of just
I
about.
I think I'm going to play there with Flipper.
No way.
No, Peachy Way, like in November.
Oh, my God. I really
Tejas, right? You know what I meant when I said Peachy Way, right?
No, I don't know what that means.
Latin guys, they call each other steer. Like, a way is a steer, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when people say, no way, right?
Pinche. Yeah.
I'm from Virginia a long time ago, but I like Southern California. I like Latin culture. So when people say, hell, no way, I say, yeah, pinche way. By the way, in Spain, they don't know pinche, right? You know, that's a Mexican thing. Same with the, what's the other one? Chingas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have that. Yeah, they're regional cuss words, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What about the material in Pocket Fisherman? Does it stay current, or do you just play the greatest hits?
We got to try to write some new stuff, but it's a challenge to break new songs into the list. What we did with this last record was we wrote 11 songs, and we've been playing like 3 or 4 pretty regularly. So that's good because, like, we have never been that prolific. And so, like, our shit gets really boring to the people who love us. And we have a community here. So, in other words, like, trying to answer the question a little bit more succinctly, it's a challenge to write good songs and bring them in. That's what I would say.
That's a good point. Yeah, but D Boone, there was a Minutemen record cover. He came up with this paint, and he goes, I got it. It's like some board meeting of record company bosses. I got it. We'll have them write hit songs.
Oh, yeah, right. I
think it was called Project Mersh.
right. I had that one.
Yeah, it was the Minutemen joke record, like on purpose jokes, you know.
Yeah,
a lot of Minutemen was funny stuff.
People,
if people want to find out about you on the Internet, where can they go?
Well, I mean, if you just type in the name, it'll probably come up, you know, especially if you look on YouTube, you can see some stuff, but really there's not too much to know. Like the only way to, you can like look at the songs we've written, you know.
What I'm asking you, Brent, is like, do you have a Pocket Fisherman website?
No, we don't.
Okay,
we don't.
Okay. Question. We don't answer, have hard question answers. Answered. You know, since this show is on the Internet, I thought maybe there might be a little tie-in with Internet stuff.
There's no hope for any knowledge along those lines.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. Not even, you don't have songs up at badcamp.com or something?
I think there might be some, but there's very few on Spotify or anything like that.
Okay.
That's
okay. That's okay. Yeah. I'm just putting it out there if people want to know. And where are your next plans?
I need to write some more songs. I need to write one more batch of songs before I die. I want to get back to the way that we used to play and have the shit be more psychedelic and more weird and creepy or whatever. And, so I want to try to write a batch of songs that are along those lines. And, we're just going to go until one of the people dies, you know, or can no longer physically play. I think that's what it's going to be.
And then, it's funny, though, because Pocket Fisherman have outlasted all these other projects you sent me.
Yeah, it is. And those guys are none too healthy.
The
members of the band.
They're not too healthy.
Not too healthy. Lance Farley is our new drummer. He's, by new, I mean he's been there for 11 years. And Jason Craig is our new bass player. And by that, I mean he's been there for 30 years. Those guys are in pretty good shape.
Okay.
But Chris Burns, I don't know what's going to happen with him.
You got to write him some songs to give him hope.
That's right, exactly. That's what he lives on.
When you guys get a new batch together, you come back on the show?
Oh, hell yeah. This is the biggest honor of my life, man.
I'd love to have you back, man. Thank you so much for being on this time. And
thank
keep
you
on
so
keeping on, please. People, it's been the August 26th, 2022. Dish your Peter Show. Keep your powder dry.